Good morning, everybody. Now, this is for all you kiddos and adults who are young at heart. What does it sound like when fictional characters have an epic rattle? It sounds like this.
Emma is my name, and rapping is my game. I'm up and down the street about to go insane. I eat you for breakfast like a toast, turtle, or a pop, a cap, and a Mr. News. A mouse from the south, and I rule the world. Money out the ears, and Minnie is my girl. If you want to hang with me, you better listen, Bob. Levy, I pick in the Mickey Mouse Club.
They call me Smeagol, and they say I'm vicious, but all I ever wanted was to have the precious. I'm a Jekyll, I'm a Hyde, I'm your everything. You call me masochism, Lords of the Rings.
I'm Scooby-Doo, and I'm meant to be seen. Just cruising down the street in my mystery machine. Scooby Snacks in my pulse is what I love the most. Puts ice in my veins as I take down the ghost.
I'm Bo Winkle and I am a moose. My rhymes are dope and my ribs are loose. Watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. Oops, my bad, it's Sylvester the Cat.
Slay it, don't spray it, is what they say. I'm Sylvester the Cat, I'm your Judgment Day. Think you saw a pretty tat, a black and white flash? You did saw a pretty tat, suffering succotash.
I'm a rocket balboa, Italian style, and then I put on the shore. I float like a butterfly, see like a bee, hear it, what do you think of me?
C is for cookie, that good enough for me. Any type of cookie that I see, pick them in the oven, I don't care, I'll eat them cookie anywhere.
Thank you. Yeah, this is my best impression. All right, here we go, see if you remember this one.
Be very, very quiet, I'm hunting wabbits, I'm Elmer Fudd, and I can dab it. My rhymes are really rad. I'm badder than Chuck Norris. They call me the Fudd, the king of the forest.
I'm Yosemite Sam, and I feel you're full of lead. My temper boils high, cause I'm a redhead. You're a flea-bitten varmint, and you're going down. I'm a rootin' tootin' maniac, the meanest man in town. I'm Marvin the Martian, and I am from Mars. I've come to destroy you earthlings all the way to the stars. I'm mean and green, so get out of my face, or I'll knock you out into outer space.
That's all, folks.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Well, it is good to be with you this morning. My name is Paul May, and I am from Springfield, Missouri. I want to thank Pastor Mario for having me this morning. We had a great time in the first service, and I know we are going to have a great time with you guys this morning. I'm actually excited to be at this church this morning because my pastor's mad at me. Yeah. Last week, he ended a sermon by saying, don't leave here the same way that you came. So I went out to the church parking lot, hot-wired a sports car, and I went home. I'm just doing what the pastor told me to, officer. You know, it's great. And he won't be the greeter at the church anymore. I was just trying to do him a favor. I would welcome all the first.
You will live.
On a sound. Church was where the Decepticons went to church, and Megatron was the pastor. Hashtag be transformed. And if Wonder Woman was a transformer, she would be Amazon Prime. But it's been a crazy month for me. My wife and I, we were recently road raged by a Mormon family. Yeah, guys, it was a brutal battle. I mean, it was a fair fight for me. I only had to take on the husband, but my wife had to take on seven of his wives. Crazy. And here's the thing, too. My mom, not too long ago, asked me if I was born in a barn. And that was the day I had to put her in a home because she could not remember where she had me.
But I go and visit her quite often at the nursing home, but the nurses no longer put me in charge of game night. I tried to play the game Twister. It turned into help. I've fallen and I can't get up. Life alerts were just going off everywhere. It was crazy. But I remember sitting there with my mom. We were watching Bob Ross. You guys know who Bob Ross is? He was painting those happy pictures and stuff. And he was painting this picture of making these happy trees. And he says, "We don't make mistakes. We have happy accidents." Which is exactly what my mom told me I was. Apparently, I deserve it, though, because whenever I was a little kid, I was always getting in trouble. And she'd always say, "Don't make me count to three." Well, I would always make her count to three because I did not want her to be lazy. Which would just tick her off to no end. She's like, "You just tick me off to no end." And yes, my mom has been pretty much angry all her life. Ticked off to no end, right? And apparently, I have that effect on people. I had an atheist try and pick a fight with me. I know. I wanted to avoid confrontation. So I told him I was God, and just like that, I did not exist. Ticked off a lady in the mall who had her kid on a leash. Yeah, I quickly apologized for asking if he was a rescue. Names her kid Cujo. Anyways, I mean, great. And I got so many glares and stares just because I kissed my wife in public. So we got out from under the covers at Bed Bath & Beyond and we left. Took our mattress shopping elsewhere. Come on, honey, let's go to Walmart. Nobody judges there. And some of you guys, aren't innocent. There are things that you guys do that make me mad. For instance, if you're somebody in this room who sings all 12 verses of the 12 Days of Christmas, you are the reason why there's 99 bottles of beer on the wall. That's why there's 7 Lords of Leaping dodging beer bottles. Hey, I remember you. He's like, "I came to the first service. I'm going to watch the second one." And if you're somebody that sticks your hand in an elevator just as it is closing, just so that you can come in, you are the reason why I fart in an elevator. Come on in. Sorry. Not sorry. And I feel sorry. Excuse me for having compassion on people, right? I feel sorry for the obese person who lost a lot of weight. Memory foam mattress. Okay, I'll take that one now. Did I cut out or something? I think, yeah, okay, I did. That's pretty bad when you give a punchline of a joke, like, "I didn't hear it. I have no idea what just happened there, but he said something. I don't know what it was, but it was good." And I don't know if you guys have heard this or not, but this is a true story, not even making this up. But there is a Taco Bell in Vegas that now performs wedding ceremonies. Have you guys heard about this? True story. A Taco Bell, of all places, that performs wedding ceremonies. Talk about one explosive honeymoon. Not only were their bowels be moving, so were their bowels. That's what's going to happen. She'd be like, "You smell love in the air."
"No, I just ate a bean burrito. That's what I'm smelling right."
I mean, is that what marriage has been reduced to now? A line item on a fast food menu? Can you just imagine some guy walking in about ready to order his fourth meal?
"Hey, why don't you give me a couple tacos? A couple of those enchiladas?" "Huh. Well, that's new. Hey, honey, look. Want to get married?" "Yeah, it's on the menu. Yeah, right below chalupa. You sure? Okay. Can we get one wedding to go, please?"
I mean, who does that in their right mind? Didn't they transform the little Taco Bell into a wedding chapel, and they have a little girl, but instead of tossing flower petals, she's tossing flour tortillas. And then they hire some minister who uses terrible Taco Bell puns in his message? Today, I want to taco about love. Ain't a lot of work to be married. You must love each other per day and night. Now, you will have cinnamon twists and turns. Life will get jalapeno face. But marriage is all about taking the leap of faith into the great unknown. Now, when I salsa, thank you, for walking through those doors, I knew it was destiny. But here are some annulment papers in case you change your mind. Let us pray. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Thank you. And see. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if you guys are like me or not, but I'm not a fan of funerals. I don't like going to funerals. And I know we do out of respect for a loved one or a support of a family member or friend. But, guys, think about this. I am a comedian. So whenever I die, I want my funeral to be fun. So I've come up with three different options, and I want you guys to help me decide which one I should have at my funeral, okay? Here is option number one. Whenever I die, I want whoever officiates the funeral to pretend that it's a murder mystery. And everybody who attended is a suspect. Suspect number one right there. What's your name, sir? Pedro. Uh-huh. What do you do for a living? Plumber. So he flushes his victim down the drain. Suspect number. Option number two. We play a big game of hide and go seek. Now, they hide my body somewhere in the building. And just like the game of sardines, whoever finds me hides there with me. And whoever finds me last is it. And then we play the game all over again. Option number three. I hire a ventriloquist. I guess you guys know where I'm going with this, huh? And my body is the dummy. Hey, Paul, you're looking a little stiff today. So by a round of applause, let me know which one you guys would like me to have at my funeral. So here we go. Option number one, murder mystery. All right, very good. Got a few Nancy Drew enthusiasts here, okay. How about option number two, hide and go seek? A few of you, all right. Option number three, the ventriloquist. Apparently you guys like a good dummy, all right. Well, honestly, guys, I don't care which one you guys picked. You people are sick. Like, I can't wait for him to die. I'm going to his funeral. Woo! Oh, my goodness. That's fun. What, you were giving me option number fourth option? What's the fourth option? Uh-huh. You throw the bouquet? And whoever catches is going to be the next one that's going to die. Oh, no. Oh, no. That is awesome. That's a number four. Throw the cats in. Oh, no. That's brilliant. Can I steal that? Can I steal that? Yes. I got permission. You guys heard it here first. So whenever I have my Comedy Central special, like, hey, she's the one that said that joke. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to have a little bit of fun here with somebody. I have a little victim in mind, volunteer in mind. Man, what's your name in the little red jeans there? Sonia. Sonia, come up here and join me. Everybody give Sonia a hand. That's what you get for sitting in the front row. All right, let me find out a little bit about Sonia. Sonia, Sonia, Sonia. So, Sonia, are you married?
Yes.
And is your husband here today? And is this your husband right there?
That's my husband right there.
What's his name?
Howard.
Howard. Hello, Howard. Hello. Now, what does Howard do for a living?
He's a teacher.
Teach? What does he teach?
Math.
Ooh, math. Ooh. Math was my worst subject. Things just did not add up for me. Truthfully, sir, I think math creates a lot of mold or a division. I think it a lot of, and that's just a fraction of the list right there. That's my math. That's all right. That's all right. It'll equal out in the end, I'm sure. So, Sonia, what do you do?
I'm a school counselor.
Counselor. So, do you counsel all the people that he sends to you because they can't handle math?
Basically, yes.
Basically, yes. Hey, sir, get off your phone. What are you doing, sir? Pay attention. Oh, you're gonna video. Oh, yeah. You might want to videotape that. Yeah. This is gonna be social media blackmail here today, right there. Oh, you want me to post it? I will. You let me go out with my friends. And who's that good-looking little young chap right there?
That's my youngest son, David.
Hi, David. David, you look like a sports guy. Are you a sports guy? No. I didn't say you were. You just look like one, okay? Just like Pastor Mario, he looks like a pastor, but he's not. Okay, I'm just I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We're BFFs. He let me use his office. So, Sonia, let me ask you this question. Have you ever acted before?
Yes.
That's exactly why I chose you, because I knew that you're going to do great with us. So, ladies and gentlemen, for your entertainment this morning, Sonia and I are going to act out a scene. Now, we're going to do a dress rehearsal just so you guys know what the script is about. And, Sonia, good news, you don't have to have the lines memorized. So, I have them written down in this trusty little cue card here. I picked up from Living Faith. I don't know if there's anything in it, but there's the script there. This is your lines, and we will save that one for later, okay? All these, and I'll say my lines in between, okay? So here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Here's our script. Sonia, you have the first line.
What would you like to do tonight?
Oh, I don't care. How about we watch a movie?
That's fine. What kind?
Oh, any kind is fine with me. Would you like some popcorn?
I would love some.
And scene. Everybody give it up for Sonia, everybody. Telling you what, Meryl Streep has nothing on her. That's awesome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, obviously that's very generic, but there's just something about when you add a cinematic music score that changes the whole dynamic of a scene. So we're going to do this three different times, and you'll see the three different examples. So here we go. From the top, Sonia, you have the first line.
What would you like to do tonight?
Oh, I don't care. How about we watch a movie?
That's fine. What kind?
How about we watch a action movie? Sonia, would you like some popcorn?
I would love to.
Okay, thank you for reading your script. I'm going to go make some, okay? I'll need you to cover me from enemy sniper because I'll be back. Microwave, we ain't got all day. Oh, Sonia, I've got popcorn. All right, oh, I just dropped it everywhere. That's okay, I'll get it. Here, you sit there, I'll get it. Howard, I am so sorry. If I only knew. Man, just think the moment she gets mad at Howard for... Good job, Sonia. That was awesome. That was Oscar. No, you see, we got two more options, man. Don't you get off here too early. So that was example number one. Here is example number two.
What would you like to do tonight?
Oh, I don't care. How about we watch a movie?
That's fine. What kind?
How about we watch a scary movie? Would you like some popcorn? Well, I'll go make some then. But don't you even think about going anywhere. Chink, chink, chink. Chink. All working according to plan. Boop, 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 boop. Poison.
I'll get you, my pretty. And your little dog, too. Here's your popcorn.
Oh! You made me drop all over my nice clean floor! Prepare to meet your maker!
She's got that screaming down right there. That was scary, wasn't it, Sonia?
It was scary.
Yeah, I think I may have peed my pants on that one. That was very scary. Very scary. Okay, that was awesome. So, that is the second example. Here's the third and final example from the top, Sonia. You got the first line. No, you're not Sonia. You're Sonia. I'm just kidding. I had Sophia earlier, so I got this. That's your daughter? The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Awesome. So here we go from the top.
What would you like to do tonight?
Oh, I don't care. How about we watch a movie?
That's fine. What kind?
How about we watch a romantic movie? Hey, Sonia, would you like some popcorn?
That's fine. What kind?
I'll go make some schnookums. L-O-V-E. Love. This popcorn is hot. Just like you. Here's your popcorn, Sonia. Oh no, I dropped one, but that's okay. I'll get it. Not yet! Not yet! Sonia, I know we've only known each other for like 3 minutes now, but I just gotta ask, will you make me the happiest man by being my bride? Everybody give it up for Sonia, everybody! Oh my goodness. And everybody give it up for Howard for not beating me up. Oh man, you guys having a good time so far? Good. Well, Sonia, you guys have nothing to worry about. I have now actually been married now for 25 years. Thank you. It's my 25th marriage. I sure hope this one works out. Crazy. No, I love my wife. Someone said to me not too long ago that whenever you have disagreements with your spouse, to choose your battles. I said, sir, I have been married for 25 years. I haven't got to choose a battle yet. He goes, that's why you're still married. Like, ah. But you guys have heard that phrase, with great power comes great responsibility. From Spider-Man, right? Well, that's exactly why I chose not to become a superhero. I just don't want that kind of responsibility in my life, right? I wish my wife would understand that so she would stop giving me chores all the time. I'm like, honey, I'm not Superman. She goes, you're right. You're trash man. Now go take this to the curb. My youngest, he was about 7 years old at the time. He goes, Daddy, did you know that in some cultures, the groom doesn't even know the bride until after they're married? Son, that's every culture. Matter of fact, my wife said to me, you know, I wish people would take you seriously. Wait, hold on a second. That's not how she phrased that. Oh, no, she said it like this. You know, I wish people would take you. Seriously, stop and help me! As a matter of fact, my wife made me make a video to show to you in hopes that there's someone in the audience that can maybe book me at another church, a corporate event, or a funeral. I'm contractually obligated to have to show you this, or else my wife will not let me come home. So without further ado, watch the screens.
Some of you enjoyed that a little too much. Well, as you guys saw in that video, my wife is a very beautiful, petite, soft-spoken individual. And I could be in the same room with her and she would say something to me, but I can't hear her. Why? Because she's a very beautiful, petite, soft-spoken individual. So for the life of me, I do not understand why she will try to have a conversation with me when she's in a total separate room of the house. I would be downstairs in my man cave, getting ready to watch the latest sporting event on my 65-inch screen TV, kicked back in my lazy boy recliner with a bowl of Doritos on my chest, when all of a sudden, off in the distance upstairs, I hear, "Yeah.
Is that what happened in there?"
"What?
Is that what happened in there?"
So I mute the television. "What did you say?"
"I said, is it in there?"
So, men, what do I have to do? Yeah, and I was talking to the men. Don't you even ladies even respond to that. So I get up off my lazy boy recliner, dust off all the Doritos off my chest, walk up 50 flights of stairs, and ever so calmly say to her, "What was that, sweetheart?"
"Oh, never mind. I got it now."
"Oh, you're married to the same woman. I see everybody's doing some pointing back there." "Uh-huh. Oh, that's you. That's you right there." "Well, sir, I got some advice for you. Whenever my wife does get mad at me, she gives me the silent treatment. So you know what I do right before my football game comes on? I purposely make her mad right then, huh?" "That's right. That is right. I don't know. I love my wife, though. When we had our 20-year anniversary, we wanted to do a big anniversary vacation. So we went on a inclusive vacation to Cancun, Mexico. But before we went over there, she wanted to get one of those incubators, you know, to get her skin a nice golden brown so she looked good in her bathing suit and not be, you know, able to sunburn as bad being closer to the equator. And she wanted me to do the same thing. I said, there is no way I am getting in that nuclear warhead, Kim Jong-un. She goes, all right, but when we get over there, I'm going to spray you head to toe in sunblock so that you don't get a really bad sunburn and ruin our whole anniversary vacation because you didn't listen. I'm like, okay, that's fair. Let's do that. So we get over there. We get checked into our hotel, and guys, it's just beautiful. We get into our room. We put on our swim clothes, just about ready to start my vacation, stepping into the water, and I hear, "What? Oh, yeah, sunblock. Okay, come on, honey, bring that sunblock." And so she had one of those spray bottle kind, right? And so I felt like a used car getting a paint job. Like, arms up. Turn around. Close your eyes. Now,
wait 5 minutes, let that soak into your skin before you get into the lake. Yes, Mommy, okay, I know what to do.
So she gets in the pool and finds herself a nice little raft to float on. She's got a little sun hat and her sunglasses on. And I wait my 5 minutes and I begin socializing. I'm like, hey, where are you guys from? Texas, awesome. Oh, your anniversary? Ours too, how many years? You know, just having small talk. But as time goes by, I am really starting to get some tightness on my shoulders. And I look at my chest and it is Pepto-Bismol pink. Pink is that guy's shirt right there, man. That is a pink shirt right there. Only a real man can wear something like that. That is a pink shirt. You even got a cute little tie to go with it. And that's an example of the wife dressing the man. That's what that is right there. Honey, this is what you're wearing today. I laid it out for you. So I've got my, time in the pool, and I'm like, honey, I think I'm starting to get a sunburn. And she goes, okay. You know, so she brings me out of the pool to reapply, right? So arms up, same drill, turn around, wait 5 minutes. So she goes back to sunning, I go back to socializing. But as time goes by, I am really starting to hurt. I mean, my skin just feels like it's wrinkling up like a California raisin. And I look at my chest, and it is no longer Pepto-Bismol pink. It is beet red. I'm like, honey, I think I got a sunburn. She takes off her glasses, her eyes gets real big, like, oh, no. How could this happen? And she rushes me out of the pool, all the while questioning how this could have possibly happened. She used the strongest man, applied it not just once, but twice. We get up into our room, and she remembers that she bought that in a two-pack. She grabs one bottle and looks at the other. Oh, no. By this time, ladies and gentlemen, my lips are sunburned, and I can barely even speak.
What do you mean, what's up now? Honey, what do you mean, what's up now? Am I gonna die? I don't wanna die.
Promise me you won't kill me.
What did you do?
I accidentally sprayed you with the aloe bottle instead of the sunblock.
You get what? Honey, you didn't have to get me out of the country just to murder me. And for the rest of the week, I could not touch anything without wincing in pain. As a matter of fact, I channeled in my inner James Brown. I tried to get into the hot tub.
Too hot in the hot tub! Woo. Too hot in the hot tub! Need a cold towel! I'm about to need a cold towel! I'm about to... Woo. And then MC Hammer kicked in. Can't touch this. Thank you. Oh, marriage, huh, Pastor? Oh, my goodness. Well, guys, I want to take just a moment to break from the old comedy and talk about the journey of life. And every one of us in here, we have a journey. There have been a point in time, maybe you've had your defining moment. I want to tell you my journey, my story today. Whenever I was 16, I got invited to go to a church camp. Now, I want to preface this by saying, I grew up in a very, very small town. We had about 440 people in the city limits total. There was 23 people in my class, and I was 23rd in my class. That was my education. I was too busy entertaining than educating, right? And I had a friend of mine ask me if I wanted to go to church camp. I said, why in the world would I want to go to church camp? He goes, there's going to be some pretty girls there. I'm like, sign me up. Because think about it, guys. I saw the same girls from kindergarten to high school. I needed a change of scenery. So I went to church camp looking for my LTF. Do you guys know what LTF stands for? Love you till Friday. Because think about it. In my day, we didn't have social media, right? So if I was going to call a girl, I had to make a long-distance phone call, which my parents would not allow me to do. Or I had to write a letter, put a stamp on it, mail it, and hope she writes me back. So I knew my time was precious to look for my LTF, to find that girl on that Monday. Well, Monday rolls around, and that night we were having our first worship service, and they were playing the camp songs and everything, and I'm sitting with my buddies, and I get a tap on my shoulder, and it's a girl. And she goes, hey. I'm like, yeah? You see my friend back there? Oh, yeah? She thinks you're cute. And I look back at her, like, she's very beautiful herself. But outwardly, I'm trying to play all cool. Like, oh, yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. But inwardly, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Monday is here, and I've already got my LTF. This is going to be the greatest week of camp ever, right? But all week long, I heard this camp pastor talk and say, how Jesus loves me, how Jesus has a purpose and a plan for me, that if I give my life to him, he will direct my path. And I heard that. I see some of my friends that they would walk an aisle. And I didn't grow up in church, so I didn't know all the lingo. And one of my buddies came up to me, he goes, I got saved tonight. Oh, that's great. Awesome. From what? Is there a grizzly bear outside? What is that? What's he saved from? I didn't really understand, but each night, as the camp pastor proclaimed the gospel, I understood a little bit more clearly. Each time. Well, Thursday night rolls around, guys, and Thursday night is the most romantic night of camp because it was campfire night. Campfire night, sitting on the log, singing camp songs, and I'm holding my LTF's hands. The fire is billowing up high. Why? Because the youth pastor put that fire together. NASA's satellites could see it from space. Like, throw some gas on it. People in the front row had no eyebrows. It was beautiful. So I was holding her hand, but there was another girl at camp that week who liked me as well, and she was sitting on my right side, and I was holding her hand too. She didn't know. She didn't care. It was beautiful. It was a great night, right? So I'm having the best night of my life holding two LTF's hands when all of a sudden a youth leader's wife had to go and ruin the moment. Now, in between our camp songs, people are giving testimonies of what God did in their life that week. Many teenagers are saying they gave their life to Christ, and youth leaders would kind of encourage us with certain things. And this youth leader's wife, she had just the most beautiful, sympathetic voice. But mind you, all I could do is hear her and see a silhouette of her because she's standing right in front of the flames, right? Right? The big towering inferno. And she says this. All week long, there have been many of you. And you have given your life to Jesus. And that is precious. That is why we are here. That is amen on that. That is why we do what we do. We love you. We are here for you. But then she paused. And all of a sudden, her voice changed. Her countenance became something different.
But let me tell you something. Just as you see the flames billowing behind me, there's nothing compared to the flames of hell.
And I'm sitting there looking around, feeling sorry for the person that she's talking about. And then it hit me. She's talking about me. And I was sitting there that night holding those girls' hands. And I kind of symbolically reason that me holding these girls' hands is symbolic of me holding on to the world. And I just need to know that I needed to let go and let God have my life. So at the age of 16, I had my defining moment when I gave my life to Christ. Now I want you to hear me real clear. I didn't give my life to Jesus because I didn't want to go to hell. I gave my life to Jesus because there was a God who loved me so much, who invaded this planet over 2,000 years ago, paid a price on a cross because I couldn't pay, rose again, conquered death, and is coming back once again. I was motivated by his love. And the Bible says we love. Why? Because he first loved us. I can honestly say at the age of 16, I didn't love God. Why? We just met. But just like a relationship of a marriage, you like a person, you learn to love that person. As you grow in that relationship, you learn to cherish that person. God has always cherished us, but we learn to love him back and be an ambassador, to be a messenger for this world that we live in. Guys, the whole reason why we are still alive the moment we give our life to Christ is because he wants to use you to make a difference in the world. We are, the Bible says, his ambassadors. We're his representatives. We're his voice. We're his mouthpiece. We are the image of God to reflect on the world who needs him. Somewhere along the way, you had your defining moment. Somewhere along the way, somebody invested in you and showed you the value of who Christ is and how Christ loves you. I always wondered, and this is the gospel according to me, I always wondered, the moment that we gave our life to Jesus Christ, why didn't God just poof, take us to heaven that moment? Just do that. And here's the conclusion I have come. I just wish that God would say, you know, maybe he just opened up the clouds and show us a glimpse of what heaven is looking like, what that's going to be. Just show it up and just let us physically see it, even for 5 seconds. Because once we see that, man, they would be like, every day we couldn't even shut up about it. Man, you got to do this. And we'd be so excited. But here's why I believe he doesn't do that. Why God just doesn't give us that glimpse of heaven. Because we would fall more in love with the place than the person. It's not a destination that we love. It's the God that we love. The destination is just a fringe benefit, ladies and gentlemen. Let me do this one last illustration. I got one last bit I want to do for you guys before we dismiss. And somebody shared this illustration with me several years ago, and it's just a great visual illustration of perspective of life. Let's say for the sake of this illustration, we get to live to be 100. Okay, we all get to live to be 100. And eternity, for the sake of this illustration, is only going to be 1 million years. Now, we all know eternity is forever, right? But for the sake of this illustration, it's going to be 1 million. So the end of that stage is 0. That end is 1 million. Now, you're a math guy, so you're going to have to help me with my math just to make sure we're doing this right. What is half of 1 million? 500,000. So that's going to put us right here, smack dab in the center. So what's half of 500,000? 250,000? So let's round that down and make our math easier. Round that down to 200,000. What's half of 200,000? 100,000? What's half of 100,000? 50,000? What's half of 50? Round that down to 20. What's half of 20? What's half of 10? What's half of 5? Round that down to 2,000. What's half of 2,000? What's half of 1,000? What's half of 500? Round that down to 200. What's half of 200? And guys, that's if we get to live to be 100. And that's if eternity is 1 million years. So my question is, what is it on this side of eternity that you're willing to sacrifice missing the greatest gift that God wants to give you and the plan that he has for you? I have a cat when I was a kid, and I was responsible for this cat. His name was Lucky. He got ran over 3 times because he lived to tell about it, so we named him Lucky. But Lucky was my cat. I was responsible for Lucky. And so I would have all the kitty cat toys, the kitty cat food, and I would pet him and love him and call him George. You know, that was my cat. But as Lucky got older, Lucky began to notice the neighbor's yard. He noticed all the other neighbor's kitty cats and the kitty cat toys and the other kitty cat food. And so you know what Lucky did one day? Lucky began to walk towards the neighbor's yard. Like, no, Lucky, no, come here. No, this is your yard. I'm your daddy. Who's your daddy? I'm your daddy, you know? And so I begin, this is your toys. Here's your cat food. I got your all the things. I pet you. I love you and squeeze you and hug you, right? And you know what the cat did? Started walking, turns, and walks over into the neighbor's yard. And me, as his daddy, I was hurt. But guys, aren't we guilty of the same? Aren't we just like Lucky? God has given us everything we could possibly ask or imagine. But curiosity gets the best of us. And we want to wander over into the neighbor's yard. And what we've done is settle for a cheap imitation of who God is. The greatest pleasure that God can ever give you is himself. That's it. And then a lot of times we'll blame God when we're in the neighbor's yard. Like, why is all this bad stuff happening to me? Probably your choices, you know. But we also know that there's choices that other people make that affect us as well and hurt us. And when those time comes, we know we have a Father that we can rest in, who went to that cross, paid it all, and knows that eternity is not a million years. He's come to give you life and life more abundantly here. And when it's all said and done, great is your reward. Amen? Awesome. Thank you. Wow. Yeah. You guys have been incredible this morning. The first service was amazing. You guys have been equally amazing. Again, I want to thank Pastor Mario for having me. You guys have been so generous. And, we've had a lot of fun this morning. And that's the cool thing about laughter. You know, man, you look at the news today. Golly, we need to laugh. It's so miserable. You guys bring that joy into that world. Bring that laughter. Say, hey, I'm a believer in Christ. And guess what? I laughed my fool head off today this morning. It was awesome. It was great. Because sometimes that's the perfect medicine that God wants to give us in the morning time and to get us through the week. So I feel like we're family now. I feel like we have bonded, Sophia. Yeah, I could go to your house, Howard. That's what I said. What I said? What's your name? Stop confusing me. Just go. My wife. Hey, you. No, I'm kidding. But I feel like we bonded. Howard, I could go to your house, open your drink out of the garden, you wouldn't even bat an eye. We're close now. We're close. Pinky in the brain, thank you for being a good sport back there. Oh, that's good. You guys, give another hand to the ladies up there in the booth that made everything go fine. Yeah. I'm going to have a new intro song soon, but I won't mention what that is. But it's an inside joke between her and I. That's awesome. Huh? Oh, you're talking about him, too? I didn't see him sitting back. Oh, hey, camera guy. He wasn't up there first service. That's a new addition right there. Oh, my goodness. But, guys, we've had a great time this morning. But truly, honestly, it's so hard to say goodbye.
How do I do what we had? Mr. Noodles!
The good times that made us laugh. Gosh. Outweigh that. It's goofy.
And such we get to see forever's. But forever's gone so well.
It's so hard to say goodbye, to restoration. Oh!
I don't know where this road is going to lead.
All I know. It's where we've been through. It looks like we've seen it all. It's like we've never seen it all. We didn't get to it all.
It's so hard to say goodbye to cookie. Oh, yesterday.
Everybody put your concert light on in honor of Wile E. Coyote, who cannot speak for himself.
It's so hard to say goodbye to Westaway.
And I'll take with me the memories
and I'll stick them where the sun don't. I hate goodbyes.
It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. Goodbye, Earthlings.
That's really all, folks. Thank you guys so much. You guys have been incredible. Thank you. Give it up for Pastor Mario one more time.
There's a pastor that wrote that he came to his church. He said, you know, get Paul May while you can because of the just the impact he's having. How many would like that?
Let's go.